Well, find your way to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I love this portion of Scripture, and I know that you do as well. Titus chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 11. The Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." All of us are aware that hope is an essential part of life. In fact, our life is a life of hope with varying degrees of importance. Paul calls the return of Christ to this earth the blessed hope. It is a hope far beyond any other. At the beginning of the year, I asked one of the ladies in the church, "What do you want for the new year?" You know what she said? "I want the Lord to come back this year." And I thought, what a great thing. I hope you get your desire. I have lived all my adult life in view of the blessed hope. I would certainly welcome the Lord at any moment. Here is a description of the blessed hope. I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Paul describes it here. We'll begin reading in verse 51. Folks, I hope the Word of God never gets old to you. I hope when you go to it, it just does something for your heart every time. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all," the word sleep there means die. "We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." When the Bible says the dead shall be raised incorruptible, those people who have died and have been buried, they're going to be raised incorruptible just before we are changed. Where am I? 53. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Folks, I hope this never gets old to you. This is wonderful. "Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory?" It's talking about the rapture. There's not going to be any death or any grave for us if we're caught up in this blessed hope. "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it is called the blessed hope for three reasons. First of all, the surety of the hope. The return of Christ is not the illusion of demented minds wanting an escape when it gets really bad on the earth. Not at all. To the thoughtful Christian, it is an ever-present fact, and the Bible has made it a major issue. We're going to go through some statistics, and they might appeal to you or not. But what I'm trying to establish is the Bible is very, very clear about the blessed hope. There are 31,173 verses in the Bible. One in six has to do with prophecy. Many of those have to do with the return of the Lord. 1,845 references in the Old Testament to our Lord's return. 17 Old Testament books give it prominence. 216 chapters in the New Testament. There are 318 references to the second coming of our Lord. 23 of the 27 New Testament books speaks of it in major terms. Every time His first coming is mentioned, His second coming is mentioned 8 times. You can take a look through your Bible and not find the cupboard bare when it comes to the fact that the Lord is coming back, and that is the blessed hope. Job, the great patriarch of the Old Testament, said, "Though after skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see him." Paul just said that a minute ago. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Christ in his teaching said 21 times, "I will return." Paul majored his ministry upon the fact that Christ died and was buried and rose from the dead and is coming again. Each time we observe the Lord's Supper, we do show the Lord's death till He comes. The canon of Scripture closes with, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." From Genesis to the last verses in Revelation, the blessed hope of Christ's return is a significant doctrine. With all that's going on in the world, His coming is not only imminent as it always has been, but it is soon, and it could be today. And what a joy that would be for each one of us. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's begin reading in verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. "But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." It's talking about the rapture. It's talking about the blessed hope. "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Second of all, it is called the blessed hope because of the impact it has on death. Oh boy. You gotta love this, folks. Go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the Christian's Thanatopsis. We'll begin reading in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 15. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Now stay with Paul's reasoning here. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But everything changes here. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept, and everything else that has gone before is changed. You understand that death is an enemy, unless you live in some kind of a dream world. It kicks the door down to our houses and takes those we love and those we need. You saw it on television, the lady police officer that was killed in Chicago. You see the paralysis that comes with inexplicable loss and grief to her family. Death is our enemy. But ladies and gentlemen, the coming of our Lord makes a difference in our life, because he is the only one who has ever made an impact on death. He conquered it. All we do is die and weep and hurt and worry. But Christ was raised by his Father from the dead, and he conquered death. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and look at verse 24. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. He conquered death, and because he conquered death and we are his children, we will conquer death. The one who is coming has conquered death, and that is the blessed hope. Last of all, here's the chronology of the blessed hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Very seldom do I have a funeral, but what I read this portion of Scripture, it just means so much to me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is the chronology of the blessed hope. Verse 13. Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant, or I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who have died, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we are going to be right behind them. That's what he is saying again in verse 15. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And I hope that it does comfort your heart. Father, thank you for the blessed hope. Thank you for the truths that surround our understanding of death, and what a joy these truths are to us. Every time we say goodbye to one of our loved ones, we know we're going to see them again. There's going to be a wonderful reunion in heaven, and we will spend eternity with them. Oh, Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your wonderful word in Jesus' name.